This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I like this song from Joe Cocker so much I might just let the whole damn thing play because it sounds good on a Friday afternoon on Valentine's Day.
Never take off your coat. Real slow.
But if I play the whole song, it will cut the time of my next guest, Tim Sommer, music journalist, former record executive. He founded, or discovered, rather, Hootie and the Blowfish, wrote a great book about that. He contributes to the Rock and Roll Globe website, was there at the infancy of MTV. There's so many things on your resume, it takes me like 10 minutes to introduce you, Tim Sommer. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing very well. I'll tell you something you don't know about me, okay, before we jump into the subject.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was a kid, and I mean literally a kid, I was 14 years old, in 1976 and 1977, and I'm saying this because you were discussing this on the show earlier, in 1976 and 1977, when I was 14 years old, I went to Saturday Night Live 4 times.
Oh my goodness, you didn't. How did that happen?
I kind of snuck in. It's a long story. I'm in New York City, and security at these places was much looser back in the 1970s than it would later become. And I looked a little older than 14, and I found that if I put on my older brother's corduroy jacket and his Fry boots, I could sort of pass for 17, 18, 19 years old. And I was just fascinated and obsessed with Saturday Night Live as soon as it went on the air. So I started finding a way to sort of slip past the elevators, go up to the 8th floor where they were shooting the show, and just sort of stand in the background and watch the proceedings.
How many memories of that? Like, that's got to be stuff that flashes back that you can remember, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live felt so new and fresh back then. I think for someone today, maybe it's sort of the way people felt when Eric Andre went on the air or when Tim and Eric went on the air, but it was a much bigger cultural thing. Again, I know that's not what we're here to discuss. We're here to discuss the always entertaining and controversial Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Where do you want to start? So let's just start with Joe Cocker. And let's explain the process before we get to the artist here, because the process is what? The nominations come out, and then what happens?
People vote. And for the life of me, and I cannot answer this question, I do not understand what their criteria is for voters. I don't understand, for instance, why I'm not a voter. But who am I to question these things? I don't understand. There's so many mysteries about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's not like a sports Hall of Fame where you can point to a statistic or you can point to an achievement or you can point to something and say, well, they have 3,000 hits. Of course they belong in the Hall of Fame. They have 200 wins. Of course they belong in the Hall of Fame. Wow, they took more steroids than Secretariat. Let's make sure they don't get into the Hall of Fame.
Right, exactly.
It's nothing like that. No one quite knows. I mean, I'll give you a little example. Looking at the list of the nominees this year, I have to say, by and large, this is a damn good list. This is a list of people who really deserve this kind of honor. There's only one name on it that I would say, of all of the names on nominees this year, there's only one name where I go, huh, that person really doesn't belong
okay,
in.
Okay, what's that? And what is that?
Unfortunately, and I'm not saying it's because of not their merits as an artist or as a person, Chubby Checker is a one-hit artist.
Well,
one-hit artists deserve their own wing in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They don't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. For instance, why, Mark, why would you nominate Chubby Checker and not nominate Alanis Morissette?
Right.
Not nominate the B-52s?
Well, you know,
nominate in excess of Bryan Adams.
In fairness to Chubby Checker, he had two hits because he did a sequel called "Let's Twist Again." But yeah, we were talking about this yesterday when Sue unveiled the list, and we're a little confused by that. And by the way, I've said this because my my friend Nils Lofgren from the E Street Band corrected me on this one time. I said something about a one-hit wonder, and he said, "Look, it's hard to have one hit. It's a pretty big achievement, right?" So
yeah.
I don't take that away from any artist, but does that mean criteria for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think it does. And Tim, I thought it was interesting that he was kind of campaigning to get in.
It's not that he doesn't deserve that kind of merit. It's just like, why him and not, I'm just going to throw this out there, why not the Smiths? Why not Boston? Why not Blue Oyster Cult? And again,
Boston's
it's not,
not
like
in.
To use the 3,000 hit analogy, if it was something like, okay, man, they got 3,000 hits, they belong in the Hall of Fame, then why isn't Boston in? Why isn't Hootie and the Blowfish in? Why isn't Alanis Morissette in? All these giant selling artists. So who knows what the criteria is? But as I was saying, I look at this list and I say, huh, those are all very, very worthy artists. And usually when I look at these lists, when I look at the nominees every year, and I've been sort of handicapping the nominees for many, many years, for 20 years, and I look at this list, and usually you can go look at the list and say, they're a lock, nope, no way on that artist, they're a lock, they're a probable. I can't do that here. I look at this list, Mark, and I only see one lock.
Who is the one lock?
Yeah.
I would say the one lock is Mana.
Okay, so explain that. That's the one, by the way, that's the one band that I didn't pull music from because I'm not familiar with them, but that is a Spanish language band?
Yeah, the Hall of Fame realized, thank God, that they have to acknowledge the existence of rock and pop in the rest of the world, and the fact that you have these artists who are monolithic, enormous artists in the rest of the world who sell as much as any American artist, they just sing in a different language. Let's call it, and I mean this in a positive way, not a negative way, so I'm not casting any aspersion here. Let's call this the Sábado Gigante nominee, and I'll tell you what I mean by that.
Please do,
Mark,
because I'm not smart enough to know.
Mark and Sue, what in the history of television? I'm not talking about American television. I'm not talking about color television. I'm not talking about 21st century television. In the history of television, what's the most successful TV show of all time? Sábado Gigante.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Know that one.
And you remember changing the channels, and you would come across Sábado Gigante. It's a variety show. It's a Spanish-language variety show, filmed in Miami, actually, that was the biggest TV show of all time. So there's certain artists, and I think maybe, and I don't want to venture too far down this particular rabbit hole, maybe there's an element of political correctness in it, but you have to acknowledge the fact that there are gigantic artists who don't sell in English. So I think that's a nice inroad to make. Having said that, why the hell is Iron Maiden not nominated? Iron Maiden have been one of the biggest bands in the world for 40 years. And they're still, not only are they not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they weren't nominated this year.
Well, what is there a story behind that? Because, you know, you mentioned the politics. Sometimes politics does get involved here.
And
if,
yes, it
you
does.
Know, if you're not falling in line with maybe what The Rock thinks you should do, I can guarantee you that Ted Nugent will never be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So is there something with that act that,
and
you know,
same thing's true with another deserving artist on the other end of the spectrum, Sinead O'Connor. Sinead O'Connor absolutely deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And regardless of the fact that I'm not a huge fan, so does Ted Nugent. And you're right. Neither one of them, despite both of them being deserving, will ever be in the Rock and Roll Hall.
Now,
of
you guys, go ahead. So I was going to say, you've got connections to this guy because Billy Idol, and I would say Billy Idol, that would be my lock from this list, and maybe that's unfair, but I guess I'm basing a little bit of this on my experience in the early 80s, sure, when I first started doing, you know, music radio, and the way that Billy Idol drove, in my opinion, a lot of the changes towards some of this, you know, it was punky alternative music, but this was,
exactly,
this was different, and there was a change that was happening in the early 80s, and I think he represents a lot of that.
I think you put that very well, Mark, because I was thinking about it today, and I was thinking about, in a certain way, and this is a big generalization, I feel like almost the entire MTV era was cast in Billy Idol's image. And yeah. I mean not literally,
right,
but I believe he set the pattern, this sort of, like, you know, great-looking, spiky hair, commercial, but a little out there, you know, sort of like rebellious, but user-friendly rebellious. That, in a sense, sums up MTV, and it also sums up Billy Idol and his arrival on the scene in the United States in 1980. Do I think Billy's a lock? No, I don't. I think there's a very, very good chance he'll get in, but you have to think like a voter. You have to think that you're a 40 or 50-year-old music industry veteran, a music critic, or a record company person, or someone who works for a publishing house, who has a ballot in front of you, and you say to yourself, okay, I want to vote for one legacy new wave artist. I don't want to vote for two. I only have five votes, or I don't know how many votes they have, maybe eight. I have five votes, and I only want to vote one of those five votes for a legacy new wave artist. Maybe I pick Cyndi Lauper instead of Billy Idol. See what I mean?
Yeah. No, you got to make choices. Now, I'm happy about this because...
And I think Cindy's close to a lock, by the way.
I think she might be.
Beloved in the music industry. She's wrapping up her career. She's been in the news for wrapping up her career. I think she's very close to being a lock.
So this is not Cyndi Lauper. This is Paul Rodgers and Shooting Star. Now, this was one of my... Look, I put Shooting Star up there. And by the way, when I was a fan of Shooting Star, I didn't have the depth of knowledge of Paul Rodgers and Free and Mott the Hoople and all that. But I was grouping them in some of the great 1970s American rock, or not American, but international rock bands along the lines of Led Zeppelin and some others.
Absolutely.
Was one of my favorite acts. And I think they belong for sure. Now, Paul Rodgers and some of these other guys...
like sort of Mott the Hoople, who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Bad Company, Free, who preceded Bad Company and sort of morphed into Bad Company, as you may or may not know.
Yeah.
I believe Bad Company definitely belong in.
Simon Kirk was in Free as well, wasn't he?
That's correct, yes.
And by the way, his daughter, Simon Kirk's daughter, Lola Kirk, is a wonderful actress.
Huh, that's
something
interesting.
I should mention there,
she was
too.
On Girls, right?
Yeah. She was. Let's see here. Soundgarden. This is, you know, some of the 90s stuff I'm not as connected with because I think I was in a life transition time. I was having kids for the first time. And, you know, I wasn't the biggest Nirvana guy. So some of the grungier stuff didn't attach. But obviously a huge, huge band, Soundgarden.
Again, Soundgarden are a very worthy band. Soundgarden belong, and I say that with a small b, belong in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think this is their year, and I'll tell you why. Again, you have to think like a voter. A voter's thinking, okay, I'm going to vote maybe for only one or two of those sort of like 90s acts, 90s aughts acts that sort of played rough and rowdy rock and roll, punk rock. You know what? I'm going to vote for the White Stripes. So I think Soundgarden will get in one day. I think the White Stripes are going to get in before them.
Yeah, and you know, now that they might be, think about that.
And I'm sorry to make this sound politicized, but I'm trying to think
what
the voter thinks.
Yeah, I think the White Stripes get in. That would be...
They say, do I want to spend my, quote, new wave vote? Do I want to spend it on Cyndi Lauper or Billy Idol or New Order where do I want to put that vote? So you have to think like that if you're going to really handicap.
Yeah, Black Crowes also nominated Phish. Never a band that I was particularly fond of. My wife, maybe a bigger fan. They just announced they're doing residency at Sphere. It's like, you know, along the lines of Grateful Dead jam band. Yeah, Sue's rolling her eyes.
That's not my thing.
Not my thing, Trey Anastasio, but obviously a big band. What are your thoughts on Phish and the jam bands?
I think it is, and I'm saying this in a positive way, it's a lifestyle. For a long time, I, plain and simple, did not get Grateful Dead.
Yeah, me too.
Until I realized something. You don't listen to a song. You listen to entire concerts, and then the Grateful Dead begin to make sense. Grateful Dead are about a community, and the same is true of Phish and the jam bands. Phish are about a community. They're not about finding a song you like. It's about finding this whole vibe that you are going to subscribe to the same way you would subscribe to, say, being a Democrat or being a Republican or being this or that. It's like a lifestyle. It's not a band.
I think you're right about that. That's a great way to put it. And Phish and the Grateful Dead. And look, my wife, when she was younger, she was kind of a deadhead and would go out and see Phish.
If you try to listen to one Grateful Dead song, you don't get it. But then sit down and listen to a bunch of Grateful Dead concerts.
Concert, exactly. Now, look, I'm a huge John Mayer guy, so I would actually go see the Grateful Dead and Dead & Company just to hear John Mayer play guitar, and I could totally get into him. Plus, I do love the song Sugar Magnolia. That's a great song.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's interesting. You mentioned John Mayer. I'm sure he'll get nominated one day. Again, I think, you know what, we're talking about locks. I told you I think Mana is a lock. I think Joe Cocker and Cyndi Lauper are very close to being locks.
Yeah.
And if you're going to ask me to pick two or three others who I think are going to get in this year, I would say Bad Company and Billy Idol. And probably, and again, I want to avoid any touch of wokeness or political correctness. I'm looking at this list, and if you don't consider Chubby Checker or Mariah Carey, I'm only seeing one black artist on it.
Well, that would kind of surprise me from the hall, right? Maybe.
Yeah. I'm only seeing one black artist, and that's Outkast. And I'm thinking you have to put a black artist in. So I don't mean that
in any sort of.
Again, I'm not. No judgment.
No, I get it. I think you're right about that. Hey, one thing I wanted to toss in here, since we're playing Cyndi Lauper, and I sent this to you earlier this week because I thought we'd be interested. There's a connection to the Bengals, and I'll just tell you. There's a new book on the Bengals that just came out. And I want to talk to the author of this book, but the publishing company didn't respond to that. But I bring it up because I think I told you the story. I was doing work with CBS Records back at the time, and I was doing radio, and the Bengals were the warm-up band for Cyndi Lauper at Kemper Arena in Kansas City, and I happened to be backstage.
That was a great show.
And it was a great show. I got to interview them at the time, but this is a book, not only really, I think it goes deeper than just the Bengals, because that was a historic band for women. Yeah. There were some connections, obviously, to the 1970s and the Runaways. Unfortunately, Michael Steele, who kind of plays a role in the bigger narrative of the Bengals, was not interviewed for this book, but it is out for people who might be interested in that. And
not only are the Bengals not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they have never been nominated. Can you explain that to me?
No, they should be.
The Bengals are—they're a band to me that no ifs, ands, or buts. They should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I think they will be eventually. They're one of the biggest, all-girl bands of all time.
They are,
and they're also really, really good people. They're smart people. They're funny people. You know, I wonder what kind of political stuff is going on behind the scenes. Who knows? But again, you know, when you consider who's on this list, and as I said, it is a good list this year, but then you think, man, where is Iron Maiden? Where is Alanis Morissette? Where is NXS?
I can't believe you said Boston's. I really can't believe that Boston's not in. That does shock me. Because,
you know, I think Boston, it's because Boston, who, in my opinion, made one of the greatest albums of all time, I think Boston suffer from what I'll call Hootie and the Blowfish syndrome, which is you have one album that's so gigantic that people assume that, you know, that it's just too big or that's your whole life. I don't get it. I think Boston is something that changed. It was a soundtrack to so many people's lives. I also think it changed the way people made records, and it was a big influence. So, you and I agree on that.
Well, and I honestly say, I know that the debut album was the big album, but I would put those first two records, and they basically only had, I mean, let's face it, there were some other things that happened later, but those first two records were incredible, and every song on both of those albums is something I think they should be proud of. You were going to say something,
Sue. I was. The mono thing bothers me, and it, mainly it's because we don't hear that music here. Like, people who get put in, at least I say, oh, okay, I can hear that, or, oh, it's charted. And if it hasn't even charted over here, I don't understand.
What I would do, if I was the Lord High Executioner of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
yes,
I would have an international wing. And in it, I would put bands like Mana. I would put bands like Die Totenhosen, who are as big in Germany as the Rolling Stones.
God bless you.
I would put in the band Lordi, who are a heavy metal band in Finland, who are so big, they impact the Finnish economy.
But to Sue's point, I mean, look, if that's what we're going to do, then we're just going to have the International Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's why
you have your own wing. You have your own, it has its own wing. You have a category, our international artist. So you know what? I know I said that I think Mana belongs there, but I'm actually changing my mind on that. Talking it out with you guys has changed my mind. Mana do belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but really what they belong in is something they do not have, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does not have. They should have a separate category to honor international artists, non-English speaking rock and roll artists.
So what happened here, just so the audience, I think, realizes this, Sue, it's a microcosm of what happens on the show all the time. The host says something, and people respond, and they change their minds. And Tim Sommer just did that
this afternoon.
There you did.
Oh, I thought I said that.
Yeah, maybe you did. Happy Valentine's Day, Tim Sommer. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it.
And absolutely, and thank you so much, and it is always a pleasure.
We'll go out with Joe Cocker.
Get more at 971talk.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.